This is Jennifer Dupre interviewing Bill Waltman on June 28, 1989.
Okay. This is Bill Waltman, born October 2nd, 1917, in Chicago, Illinois. My first visit to Grand Haven was a boat trip from Chicago to Grand Haven.
Do you remember what boats?
No, I don't remember the boat. I barely remember getting off the boat at the dock and then coming out here to the cottage, which my grandfather and grandmother had built back at the turn of the century. So it was, cottage was about 20 years old when I first saw it, yeah. And, but it's probably older than that. For maybe 20 to 25 years, I guess. And it hasn't changed a whole lot since I first came here, really. It still looks the same. It still has the same view.
Do you get the same feeling?
No.
When you come now?
No, absolutely. That's just nothing like it. You know, it's a home away from home, really. And nothing but good memories about it from the day I arrived until right today.
So it was truly a summer holiday.
Well, we were here summertimes. Yeah. It's always a holiday time here. See, get away from work and get away from all the heat and a lot of other things, but. This is the place to be, and unfortunately, we don't. People that have lived here year round have a little different perspective about it than we do.
Yeah.
I think they take all the good things for granted, really, which we don't. And I think that. The changes that have come about meant the loss of some good things and the addition of good things. So in the end, it all added up. You know, we had the inner urban, I suppose. Betty told you about that, but
not that much. No.
Well, it ran. The beach was probably three times the width that we have now. It just went out for...
What would the width of the beach be approximately now?
Oh, it looks like 60, 75 feet out there now. And of course, two or three years ago, we didn't have any at all. So this looks pretty good to us right now. But back then, you probably had... Fifty, maybe 100 yards of beach at various times. And of course, you had the sidewalk down in front of the steps, and then beyond the sidewalk was the tracks of the inner urban and the poplar trees, and then beyond the railroad tracks, you had beach big enough to play baseball on down there. So on a hot day, you could really get your feet burnt just trying to reach the water. But of course, when the water came up, we lost the beach, we lost the railroad tracks, we lost the sidewalk, and a good part of the hill that's out in front of the cottage it's not there anymore, so it's. But we had when we lost the sidewalk and the railroad out in front. Well, of course, they built the roads out in back of the cottage and the sidewalk and the parking lot. And which made it a lot easier, really, than before the before we lost the interurban. Actually, you could come from Grand Rapids on the interurban right down here in front of the cottage without ever having to worry about driving or parking your car or anything else. But
what did you do in the summertime recreationally?
Well, the boys, you know, the boys were sports oriented. I mean, this is all we did from the time we got up in the morning until we went to bed at night. We were on the beach, we were playing baseball or softball, and then in the evening, Grand Haven had, at that time, during the days of the Depression, they had a small softball league over there, and the sports shop, which was owned by Joe Zeman and Hobie Bell at the time, provided us uniforms, and we'd go over town and join a group of us from Highland Park. We'd go over there, and our team would play other teams from Grand Haven.
Oh, against locals then?
Yeah, it was the beginning. The Grand Haven sports program now is much bigger, but at that time it was just getting organized, and this was before the war. And there really wasn't a whole lot.
Were you about in high school when that started?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I was in. I guess even before high school, we were playing softball and baseball and tennis. And really, because of the Depression and nobody had any money, this was the easiest and cheapest thing to do to keep us entertained. And so we had 8 or 10 of us kids from Detroit and Grand Rapids and around here. And then the fathers on Sunday would get together, and the boys would play the old men. This was a lot of fun. And then after the men got too old to play, then what we did, there was another group down by the hotel. I guess the hotel had burned down by then. But there was one group from St. Louis, another group of kids from Little Rock, and they all seemed to settle in just in certain areas around the yeah, it was up there by the hotel.
Okay.
And so Sunday afternoons we'd all meet down by the state park, and we have a very sociable softball game down there, and it was always Highland Park against the fellows from St. Louis and Little Rock. But it was fun. We got made a lot of friends that way, and you often wonder what. Although some of them still own their cottage, you just never see them anymore. So I don't. Maybe they just don't come up anymore.
Yeah.
But that generally, I think that the most fun we had was. With sports.
Mm-hmm.
And they've renovated the tennis courts up there. I don't know whether you've seen them or not.
Probably not.
But
over
by
it's over
up from the Bilmar.
Go up the road that goes up past the Bilmar.
You know. Oh, okay, yeah, I know. I haven't seen them.
Yeah, anyway, we used to go up there and have tennis tournaments and played a lot of tennis up there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, the Verdiers that live 2 doors down, and Paul Parks and Frankie Randall, and we all seemed to play tennis during the summer too. It was a cheap form of entertainment. We didn't have anything else to do.
The majority of the people that lived in Highland Park, where were they from? Or was Highland Park pretty much a mixed
thing? Oh, I would say, well, the people next door used to be from St. Louis until they sold the cottage.
About half of them were from Grand Rapids.
And about half Grand Rapids. That which made it nice because the parents could, the fathers could commute every day if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Rather than just weekends. Now, people from Detroit probably just weekends.
Did they have cars when you were very young, or did they come out by the train?
Well, I think a little of both. I don't remember too much about it, because it seems to me that when I got older and into the high school age, well, they were all driving.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember my grandmother talking about that. The interurban that ran from Grand Rapids to Spring Lake to Ferrisburg to Grand Haven and then out here. And well, there's
tell about when you used to park your car up before they had the roads in here.
Well, yeah, we had to park our car up by the hotel and carry all our suitcases and luggage and everything else from the hotel, which was a long ways to down here, especially when they were heavy.
You have to make more than one trip.
Well, I don't know how we got down. I remember a few trips, but not too much about it. And I remember we had Ekins grocery store in town. Used to deliver by horse and a wagon and a horse, drawn by a horse, along the beach out here. That was the only way, unless we went into town by the interurban. And they also delivered ice out here, too.
What type of buggy did they have that could get through the sand?
Just a regular wagon and a horse, and wasn't anything special. The sand, they stayed on the sand that was packed down pretty good. But they could manage all right. But generally, the fellows, I think, most of their vacations were spent just having a good time. And it was, it really wasn't for us, there weren't any jobs available, so we just did without. You know, we didn't have any money, but you know, if we had I can't remember what it cost to go to a movie, 10 cents, 20 cents, I don't know. But that was, or we'd go down to the pavilion and have a Coke or something, and, we could walk down to the pier and go fishing.
How was the fishing?
Pretty good at times. Sometimes my brother and I would go down there and come back with 40 or 50 little perch.
Ooh.
You know, and we give them away. I mean, we couldn't eat them all ourselves. We give them to the neighbors all up and down the cottages here. But after a while, we stopped doing that. We really didn't. It was fun for a while. But.
Do you remember any stories that your grandparents or your parents might have told you about this area? Or about the cottage or anything?
No. Not really. Things, to my mind, things always seemed, and this was the good part about the place, nothing ever burned down, knock on wood, there were no explosions and no hold-ups and no robberies or no break-ins. Really, we've been so fortunate, I think, that all the cottages all up and down the line here, from the bend in the road this way anyways, people, I think, are very extra careful about taking precautions against fires, because and on a windy day, if any cottage caught fire, it would just ruin the whole area. But other than coming back after the war and finding the lake up so high, you know. And so many of the cottages south of here had just been undermined and had fallen into the lake. That's about the worst thing. And you can see from the seawalls and the retaining walls out in front here, if we hadn't done that, I don't think this cottage would have, or any of these cottages along here would have been here because of the erosion. And hopefully now the pendulum will start swinging the other way and we'll get more beach and less chance of something happening to the cottages.
Especially if you're quick to plant beach grass all over the place.
Yeah. No, absolutely. No, and we didn't have electric water heaters, and if we wanted to take a bath, we had to heat the water on the stove. You know.
Okay.
So.
Did you use a big tub?
Yeah. We had a bathtub. They heated the big tub on the stove, and then poured it into the bathtub, and that was it. And it was cold sometimes, I'll tell you. It was, we didn't have any, we had a fireplace, but no floor furnace or anything else. And
when would you come out, in the spring or the summer?
Oh, well, as I remember, my folks would come down around Memorial Day, I guess. And then school was out in Grand Rapids around the middle of June, 20th of June. And then as soon as school was out, we'd come down all the time. But we come down a couple weekends before school was out and shovel sand and dig the leaves out and sort of get things cleaned up. But by the middle of June or 20th of June, we'd be down here for the summer.
How long would you stay?
Till Labor Day. Yeah. And or whenever school was supposed to start again. They started pretty early in Grand Rapids, you know. Usually about the four or five days after Labor Day, usually school got started. So. Mm-hmm. And by then, we were sort of anxious to get back and see all our old friends again. So, but we made a lot of friends here, and over the years, and a lot of them have died too. So there's a lot of them have gone. And although Paul Parks down here grew up with me as a kid, and he's still here.
You still keep in contact with a lot of the people you met here?
Oh, not too much, no. We moved around a lot, and during the war, of course, we didn't get back, and a lot of the other people never came back either. They had other interests and other places to go, and so we didn't. My brother lives in Chicago, and he hasn't been here, and other than a one night visit, you know, for years. So people just don't have the same feeling for it, I guess, that I do.
When you were young, were you always really excited to come out to the cottage? And you were with?
Oh, sure. We just couldn't wait. My brother and I couldn't wait to get down here and
play
on the beach all the time. And it was, you know, he couldn't get in any big problems. No danger unless you wanted to got out in the middle of the lake, got in over your head or something. And of course, when the lake gets rough, there's a good undertow. And people have to be careful. You know, there's always somebody getting washed off the end of the pier or drowning for one reason or another. But the lifestyle then is a lot different than it is today.
Yeah.
It didn't take much to entertain us back then. I mean, today, my God, you got just...
they sell you entertainment in a box.
But, you know, you got the beer and the booze and the drugs and the coke and the crack and all this other stuff, and we just never messed with any of that stuff. But
Do you still get excited about coming out up here? Do you like? Is it kind of a relaxing thing for you?
Oh, sure it is. Other than my wife making me work all the time. But no, it is. When we lived in Niles, we used to come up here on weekends. And then after years went by, my daughters and my wife would come up here and stay. And then I'd go back on Monday morning and come back and drive to Niles and then come back Friday afternoon. So I'd have a long weekend here. So even if I didn't have a vacation here, at least I get up on weekends. And it just seems like it was a place to get away from business problems and telephones and all the rest. And I think that most everybody feels the same way, too. I mean, this people next door have a home in Grand Haven if they come out here also.
How do you feel about the change in the tourism? I mean, now we have tons and tons of tourists.
Well, I try to avoid them as much as I can. And it really, it bothers some people. But if you go over town, and I don't mind if you get over there early morning, there's really not that many people around. And it doesn't bother me. I don't think a lot of people are complaining about the fast food restaurants on 31. So it doesn't bother me. I think they could put another highway around Grand Haven. Because the traffic is getting bad if you want to go anyplace and you're in a hurry. If you want to get over on the North Shore, sometimes it can take a half an hour.
Yeah,
you
know, this town is not built for it.
No. And yet, it's amazing the number of people that find their way to Grand Haven. You know, my wife works in the museum down there. And people from all over the world that happen to stop in and take a look at the place, and I don't know how they ever find their way here, but they do.
There's a couple from New Zealand.
And I've been all over the world, too, and, you know, the beaches at Grand Haven, right here in front of the cottage, I think are the finest I've seen any place. You know, there's nice beaches in Florida and in Japan and Europe and Sweden, but somehow they're not quite as good. So I always tell everybody, maybe I shouldn't, I say, if you think the swimming is good here or there, you ought to come up to Grand Haven and try it sometime. But I'm always amazed at the number of people that end up at the state park, though. That place, every weekend, is packed, you know. And if the weather's bad, I feel so sorry for them, because it can be miserable. But on a day like today, you just couldn't ask for anything better. A little cool, but tomorrow will be warmer. And I think that this is what draws a lot of people here. It's just the water. And the lake is a lot cleaner now than it was 10 years ago.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And the sand has always been, you know, soft and fine, and no rocks or coral like you find in Florida. So I think, and besides, I don't like salt water, so fresh water, I know, even though it's a lot colder, you know, it's much, probably 10 degrees colder than the Gulf is.
So it feels like there's a glacier melting in there.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, right, it's 60 degrees is not warm enough for me. I don't care what they say. But I think that I always brag about Grand Haven and swimming in the sunshine and the cottage.
When you were younger, again, when you came back in the summer, did you have any favorite stores downtown that you remember? Like, what kind of stores did they have?
Oh, well, they had the old-fashioned grocery store. I can remember Mr. Eckens. Now, I don't know whether anybody else has ever talked about him or not, but I wish there were some. They had big barrels of crackers in the store, and big tins of all kinds of nuts and coffee came, and peanut butter came in big barrels, you know. And if you they take a paper carton and spoon out the peanut butter into paper cartons. They never had, didn't have jars of peanut butter or homogenized in those days. And they had a couple of theaters in town that we used to go to once in a while. And the drugstore that we always used to go to is still there. And
Diners?
Yeah, but it's called Molders in those days. And they used to have the best chocolate molars there. And we, if we had any extra money at all, we'd always... And we'd walk all the way from here to Grand Haven just for a chocolate ball. Or after a ball game, we'd do that. And there was a special... This was before McDonald's and Burger Chef and all the rest. They had a place called Cupies. It was a little hamburger place. And whether we were just extra hungry, I don't know. But they were the best things that we ever had in any place. We would go there rather than go to another hamburger place down the street. So the drugstores and the hamburger place. And some of the, most of the stores, Second East wasn't here yet, and Boss's wasn't here. Of course, it didn't matter because we bought our clothes from Grand Rapids anyway, so I really didn't, and Reichardt's was here. I remember Reichardt's. They've been here for years, I guess. And, but the main street, I think, the storefronts have been fixed up. You know, that's the biggest thing. And I don't remember how long they've had a newspaper, long as I can remember. But Grand Haven, basically the charm of Grand Haven is that while there's stores move in and out all the time, basically the town stays about the same. I think that little park. It's just absolutely beautiful. The flowers that they put in is well kept up, and that's where they have the art shows and things like that. So it's nice that it stayed a small town. But I think, generally speaking, the houses and the homes all over Grand Haven, compared to a lot of other places, are so neat, clean, well kept up, and. More than I say for some towns I've been in.
When you played baseball, you played it in the sand?
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of room, and
played it on the lake.
Well, we hit that the lake too sometimes, but we had plenty of room for baseball diamond, and of course, they had baseball diamonds out on Sheldon Road. This was before the hospital was built and all the homes were out there. A lot of vacant fields. And we used to take our bat and ball and all our gloves and all the guys and walk all the way out there and play in the hot sun for, I mean, it's been crazy, for 2 or 3 hours. Then we'd walk all the way back and then we'd all make a mad dash for the lake to cool off. So,
you play all 9 innings?
Oh, well, we probably played 15 or 20. But the best part was coming back and making a mad dash for the lake and cooling off. But then we got pretty hot sometimes.
Oh, I imagine.
But,
so,
and we had, you know, I heard my wife talking about the beach parties, the beach roasts, they did it down there. We had some around here too, so it was
After you graduated from high school, what did you do?
I went to junior college and then to Michigan State for a while, and And then I went...
You always said you got an athletic scholarship?
No, they didn't have many scholarships in those days. And then I went in the service. Before I graduated from Michigan State.
What were you majoring in?
At that time, it was accounting. And I didn't like it.
Don't blame you.
A friend of mine from Detroit that had a college down here, we decided that things were getting pretty bad over in Europe, and they were talking about the draft and everything. So we decided that rather than get drafted, we didn't want to be in the infantry. We all agreed on that. So we took an exam for the Air Force. We tried the Navy first, and they turned us down for didn't have enough education. We only had 2 years of college. So the Air Force accepted us, and he went through training out in Texas, and I went through training down in Florida. And
were you scared? I mean, before you signed up, were you nervous?
No, I don't think we were. We were too stupid to be nervous about it. No, we did. Neither one of us had done much flying other than as a passenger in an airplane, but. We decided that we'd rather do that than be in the infantry.
Yeah.
So then we both became pilots. And while I was in the Air Force, they sent me back to the University of Michigan. I finished my degree in journalism there.
Uh-huh.
And stayed in the service until 1961, and then I got out and went to work for Bendix for a couple of years, and then Bendix.
Doing?
I was an administrator in their missile division, long-range planning division, and then we moved to Niles, and I bought a public transportation company and started my own company there. And stayed there for 15 years until I retired the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Florida after that. But despite all the moving around that we did in the Air Force, we never stayed one place more than a couple of years. We must have had 15 or 20 moves, maybe more. But every summer we managed to, except when I was overseas, we managed to get back up here for the summer. We were living in Fort Worth, and this was 40 after the war sometime, and this was before they had the interstate highways, and we'd get in that car and drive all the way up here for 30 days, and then go back to Texas again. And there we were, Alabama, Washington, wherever it was, we managed to get back up here for... part of the summer anyways, so it was made it pretty nice. And,
what did you go overseas?
Well, I went to World War II. I was over in Europe, in England, flying B-17s out of England. And then I was over in Korea during the Korean War, and then in Japan later on. And then the next tour, we spent 3 years in Hawaii, which wasn't bad. In fact, we almost, that was one of the few times that we didn't get back here in the summer. So, which all really wasn't too bad, though.
Can you imagine? It probably wasn't too much of a toss-up.
No, it wasn't very hard to take. I really felt that it would have been a nice place to retire in.
Why?
Yeah, except it would have been
too far from the kids,
and
when was last there?
Well, when we go there with a haste, 81?
81,
80, something like that. We took a trip out to Japan and Hong Kong and Singapore and Bangkok.
Oh,
And we stopped there on the way back for a few days just to look at the old homestead. Wasn't very nice.
Yeah.
Things sort of run down.
Yeah.
Never the same when you go back. No. Here it doesn't change.
The attitude is generally the same here, I think. Well, ever since basically most of the industry died off into tourism.
Uh-huh. Oh, they're big into, yeah, that's right. They're big into tourism. And really, I think that if you had to live here year-round, you might find fault with the local city government and the city council. And we have some friends that take exception to just about everything they do. But I think it runs pretty good myself.
Oh, in comparison to millions of other towns in this world.
Grand Haven is just the nice, clean little town, I think.
Yeah, Michigan's a beautiful place to live.
Yep. I don't like it in the winter, but I'll take Florida in the winter.
Well, what do you do at Christmas time?
Oh, the kids usually come down to see us.
To Florida?
Yeah.
You don't have a white Christmas, huh?
No, not anymore. Well, we did, years up until 1981. We had the kids all came from wherever they were at, Washington, New York, or wherever, and we all had a big reunion at our house in Niles. And now that the kids are scattered all over, it's easier for them to come down to Florida, because we already have one daughter and two grandchildren there, and then the others just come down, and it makes it much easier.
You're not on tape now.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're sidetracked from that. Oh. Are you about through?
I think so.
I was just going to ask if you have a very strong sense of tradition about this cottage.
Oh, I think so. I think that the cottage is a refuge or a... It's been so much a part of everybody's life that you just can't visualize being without it.
Where are those spoons from hanging on the wall?
Oh, those are... Who started collecting those?
Your grandmother.
Grandmother, yeah. They're from... She picked them up various cities and states.
Read some of this, but they've gone back
their
souvenir spoons.
Well, some of them could be valuable, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right
there. There?
Oh, yeah.
Let me see one.
This is a very valuable one. Collector told me that one day.
Well, yeah.
Well, most of them are still in silver to begin with, but they're all from...
Are you on tape?
Yeah, that's all right. They'll just edit this part out.
This is Manitoba.
This is just in case you say something really significant.
This is a Sault Ste. Marie in Canada. I really haven't looked at these in years.
These are actually your mother gave them to Betsy.
St. Petersburg.
Back up to the cottage. Yeah,
why don't you have them clean them up a little bit?
The windows upstairs.
Oh,
okay. You haven't finished the porch.
Yeah.
Ask me why. I haven't had time to do all those things yet. Once a year, I do things. That's it. Once a year, I wash the windows. Once a year, we scrub the sills, and that's it. I haven't spent the whole summer cleaning. That's what I came for. I'm going to have to kind of get organized.
Yeah, it's 20 after. What time is your appointment?
It's at 12, and she's working me in, so I don't want to be 1 minute late.
Okay.
What's that? That writing?
This is kind of interesting. This is a deed. It's a first of a deed to Highland Park in 18. That was the original agreement with Highland Park, I think, when we leased the land and we promised to build a cottage.
And then when did you actually buy the land?
What?
If you leased the land at first,
yeah.
and then after you...
I don't remember exactly when the city sold it to us, but...
It was in the 40s.
Was that part of the rules that you had to lease the land
for 30 years?
Amount of time, or?
30 years was the lease.
I see.
This is the 25th day of May, 1899, I thought it would just say how far, but they told us it would be for 30 years. And 30 years would have made it in the 20s, and I don't know what they did. Maybe they renewed the lease, but we didn't buy it till the 40s, but it was at prices from the 30s. So it was very inexpensive to buy the land, but now it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you think that about wraps it up, then.
I can't think of anything else.
No, I'm sure. I didn't want you to talk that much. You got you to talk a lot more than I thought you would.
Elizabeth Waltman also included some information on this tape.